Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
After a series of sellout shows, the Drunk Women are live again at the Pleasance Theatre in London throughout spring and summer 2019. You can see them on the 25th of April, the 29th of May and the 4th of July. Go to pleasance.co.uk for tickets, and you can also see them at this year's Edinburgh Fringe Festival. More details coming up soon.
Drunk Women Solving
is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I forgot there was a dog in here, and I was like, there's a fox in my house, and I don't even care.
No vagina shots have come out on the internet.
Have they? Have they?
Darling, get out the chloroform. I'm feeling brandy.
I'm just drunk enough to admit that I wrote that line myself.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello!
First record. I am your host, Katie Wilkins. I am joined by our fantastic guest, Nat Tanner. Actress, musician, a million billion things. should I list the things?
I've got a dog.
She's bought a dog.
She's brought her dog. Oh my god, the dog's amazing.
The dog's called Mimosa. The dog is named after a drink.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Did you change its name just for us?
No. She was called Mimi, and I was like, that's shit. Mimosa, and she didn't know her own name, so I had to teach her name, and I was like, Mimosa, it's close. And also it means like affectionate Spanish, and apparently it's a flower that like if you touch it does stuff. So I was like, that works. I'm a dog. I don't know.
But she had a given name when you adopted
her? Yeah, Mimi.
Oh, I see. So you had to work with that.
Made it a bit
sexier.
I like
that you worked with it, though. That's so nice.
And she's from LA, where they all drink, like, bottomless mimosas on Sundays.
Oh,
that's their thing.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having roasts, they go up at 11 and just drink mimosas. I was like, done.
This is no good for the audio listeners, which is everyone, because this isn't a live podcast, but the dog is
really cute.
It's so good. This is it's already the best podcast we've ever done. So.
You can't see this, but there's a really awesome dog.
Did you say at the beginning that she's done a million billion things?
Yeah. I hope that's cool.
Do you have that on IMDb? Because that would just be amazing.
Well, I'm now currently employed, so now I'm going to change it, and I think something's going to come up immediately.
Let's sound like a teen movie, though. A million billion things.
I think we're going to write this. Let's write this as a series.
Should I Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, About a Boy? Should I list all the things?
No,
that's
long
three. That's not a million billion. But
that's not a billion billion.
I mean, it's impressive, mate. But
more. We need more.
Someone give me a job.
Right. Okay. Come on.
This is the best night of my life. And I'm married and I have a child. And a million billion other things.
So, Nat Turner, can you tell us, have you ever been... I'm not going to second name you the whole time.
All right. I hope just it's you or you.
Really hoping it's not like a sad, sad story.
It's not sad.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Can you tell us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, many times. Obviously, okay. I have a bike in London which has been stolen loads of times, but that's a bit boring.
Ah.
I have a story which, as a result of the story, two things happen. One, I now always have a passcode on my phone.
Okay.
And two, I always allow my boyfriend to eat fried chicken on the way home. Now, I'm not a food Nazi. It's not because I've got a problem with like chicken, but basically, you know, usually we're coming back from a gig or going out and we're touching each other inappropriately in public transport on the way home. And then we get off and he'll go, I want some fried chicken. And I'm like, are you fucking joking? Like, my vagina is here. Like, how can you do this? We can go and get chicken in like 5 minutes. Priorities. This is like a bone of contention. I came out Kensal Rise Overground, and because I didn't let him go to his chicken shop, we went down this other route, and I had my phone in my hand, I'm chatting, and it's just gone. And I was like, and it was like Urban Polo, these two kids from like about 15, 16, like one on the back. It was actually very impressive. It's like Urban Polo, just like, psh.
Whoa.
They got it off me. And I was like, I was about to go, fuck it. And then this moment happened and I was like, shit. And on the phone is like loads of scripts that people have sent me. Like, I've had to sign like NDA.
No.
NDA, I'm dyslexic. Is that the right NDA?
Yeah, non-disclosure.
But yeah, loads of them. But other than that, there's loads of, like, basically, like when I'm away.
Beauties.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, when I'm in hotels, I send, but it's only something that my boyfriend would find attractive because they're not attractive. I get drunk and I get lamps in hotels, and I'm like, trying to get the right angle for said vagina that we're talking about. And they're horrible. And I panicked and I started running down Chamberlain Road, which is downhill, and I'm quite a runner because I jog every day. And they thought they lost me, so I was actually gaining on them.
Oh, yes. Wow.
And this woman stops in a car, like she's like driving next to me, like, what are you doing? I'm like, vagina, crotch shots. She's like, get in. I know those kids. They're from the motorcycle state. And I'm like, let's fucking go. My boyfriend's like, obviously confused. Like, where's my fried chicken? I'm like, we're in this car. We go to the motorcycle state. Because I ring the police, I'm telling them I'm chasing them. They were there within seconds.
Wow.
But the sad thing was, they got all the kids from the estate out. Like, I saw their moms.
Oh.
And I was like, really? I was like, guys, like, I told you what they look like. A, all the chubby ones can go. Look at them skinny. Like, why? Look at that. That poor kid's mom is like screaming. Can you just? So it was very annoying that they wouldn't actually take my description and actually listen to me.
Yeah.
And nothing. I mean, I didn't get my phone back, but no vagina shots have come out on the internet. Have they? Have they? So I'm safe.
I don't know. But how would you find them? Like, was your face in the photos?
No. Yeah. Just... various times. I mean, there's like, you know, it's like, wow, you know when you like to do loads.
Because I was like, otherwise you'd have to go. Oh,
they got loads and like different country.
They
got
the outtakes.
Oh no.
I mean, you wouldn't so much mind if it was just the ones where your vagina looked lovely.
Yeah. Might get more followers. Done. Good job.
Brilliant.
That crime had it all.
Yeah.
A chase. bad wedding vaginas.
A woman, a say, like a woman that came and like was like, yeah, I'm with you. That's so I really funny. Liked her. And she,
yeah.
And she let me into her car. Like I was like, okay, let's do this, right?
Down.
Yeah, because she knew them. Like they've obviously been around that area, like obviously waiting down that road to get people's stuff.
Oh my god, so they didn't, so you, like, you were chasing them, the police started chasing
them. Yeah, and we got into the estate.
And you all arrived at the estate at the same time, but they were sort of
They were confused about who it was, and I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. And the police, like, I basically screamed at the police, I was like, HBO scripts and vaginas. And they were like, don't worry, what these kids usually do is they, like, wipe everything. They don't care about your stuff. And I didn't believe them, but it turns out, okay, until you guys know about it.
They actually have to do it quickly,
because
then you can't claim it.
Look at us, like, meeting Katie. You know, actually, you gotta flip it fast, don't you, Wilkins? You gotta get the hot goods out on the black market before they go cold, am I right? Because otherwise, wouldn't that be horrific? Is like the script suddenly got made.
Yeah.
Like, you see both the film on Netflix and Badly Lit Vagina in the same together.
I'd get sued, like, but I'd been caught and everyone would have seen my vagina. It would have been such a bad, like, day for me.
Just a day.
And then I'd be fine the next day.
Yeah, fine. It's fine. I've got a dog. I'll go for a walk in the cemetery. Everything's cool. Done.
I love it. So you didn't let him have chicken.
No, but now... Yeah, sorry. I'm still... No, but that's what I mean. Now, I'm like, any time, because I did that fateful thing, I'm now like into chicken.
Well, I like that. Because I like the fact that you're like, you're not having chicken. We're going home to fuck, but I'm going to call my mum. Like, who are you calling? Why were you on the phone?
I don't know.
Why were you on the phone?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
The second you said I was on the phone, I was
glad
like,
you asked, Dr. George. I don't know. I don't know. Who was it? What? Maybe a takeout. I was like, can you bring fried chicken to my house?
7 to 8 minutes, we need it. Thank you very much.
Oh, no. One of the questions we ask on this podcast is, what would you say if you could have the criminal now? What would you say to them?
Did it look nice?
Rape my vagina.
That's good. Yeah.
I genuinely...
On TripAdvisor, how would you...
I genuinely think that, like, badly lit porn would do really well as a site. As a, like, funny, but you still get the slight titillation of porn. Badly lit porn.
Badly lit porn.
I need side projects, guys.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Wow. Speaking of dark topics.
Come on.
This case that we are now about to discuss contains a morbid famous first.
Ooh.
Just flagging that up for you guys now. And also, fun fact, the main person in this case is considered one of history's stupidest criminals.
Ooh.
Which I think is slightly unfair.
Theresa May, am I right?
But also, I read it and I was like, a bit sort of, oh, come on, mate. Like, so it's like, might be a bit harsh to call them the stupidest criminal, but like, they were a bit stupid. And also, it's the
stupidest a word?
I'm too drunk. I don't even know if stupidest is a word now.
I'm genuinely asking that because I don't know right now.
Stupidest is a word.
Stupidest? Yep.
You know what? I've written it and it
producer says yeah.
It didn't get underlined by spell check. I would have changed it.
Yeah, how could I have won my school's stupidest girl if it hadn't have been a word?
Looks like I'm not, in fact.
I'm the second stupidest girl. This is slightly dark.
What was the first one again?
Oh, so it's got it contains a morbid famous first.
Okay.
Morbid famous first.
Intrigue. In Queens Village, New York, on March the 20th, a 9-year-old girl finds her parents in a bad way.
In a bad way.
Like gammy leg or no head?
Even worse. It's really inappropriate for me to laugh.
It's nervous laughter.
It's
okay.
Like, you know, when you shouldn't laugh in assembly and you get the giggles.
Right. Yeah. Or a funeral.
Yeah. Is this the first vivisection?
No. Okay. Do you know what? I've already oversold it. I can tell.
Oh, okay.
Right. So she finds her parents. One of them is dead.
Oh.
Having been...
In a bad way. They're fucking dead, Katie.
One of them isn't.
Okay.
One of them's
alive. Did you get this from, like, EnglishRepression.com? They're in a
very bad way.
I'm just drunk enough to admit that I wrote that line myself.
I stick with my previous statement.
I thought it was going to be funny when I then revealed, but then I laughed all the way through and it didn't work. Anyway, so the one that's dead has been garrotted and hit on the head with a dumbbell and had their nose stuffed with chloroform, and the other one is alive but tied up with the rag in their mouth. Ooh. So,
oh my God.
To kick us off, which parent is dead and which one is alive?
Well, that's fun.
Mom is dead.
Oh.
Interesting.
No?
No, like, no, good guess. Yeah.
I reckon because, you know, men tend to be more brutal to women. Yeah. So I think they kill the mum and made the man watch all of it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting.
That's what I would do.
No, I like it. That's a good theory.
I'm really talking about stupidest. What does garrotted mean?
I'm glad you asked.
Strangled.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is that like French for strangled? Let's not get into it. Garrotted. Just to be different, I'll say the reverse of that.
Okay.
That the poor mum.
There's literally nothing I could add to that.
Yeah. Okay. I can now reveal that Taylor is actually correct.
And that's a worse fate, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, for the woman to have.
Yeah.
So the father is dead. That is Albert Snyder. And the mother is alive. She is Ruth Snyder. The child is called Lorraine that's found them. Just real quick as well, what year do we think this is?
Oh, this rings a bell.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I know any details.
You've got nothing to work with other than strangling and dumbbells.
1962.
Nice guess.
Any advance? I think 1862.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I think you're 100 years wrong.
I'm going to go with 1922.
You are the closest. It is 1927.
Ooh.
Bad
time to be a Snyder.
The little kid, a 9-year-old kid, removed the gag from her mother's mouth and ran to next door to get the neighbour's help, and then they called the police. The police arrived. Now, when the police arrived, ostensibly the scene looked like a robbery, but they soon found some inconsistencies with this as a theory. So they...
She did it!
Sorry.
Oh my God!
Detective leaped to conclusions.
Yeah, well, you may not be wrong. So basically, the body gets found in the bedroom. The dad's, Albert Snyder's body is tied up. He's been chloroformed.
It's interesting there's chloroform.
Yeah.
Because you can do that and then mess with the body pretty easily.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
Make it look like.
What?
So chloroform will make somebody pass out.
Yeah.
So you can basically mess with the body and make it look like anything you want to. You can stage anything you want. It was sort of it was the roofie of its day. It was the roofies. 1920s roofie.
I'm just thinking of a very interesting Edinburgh play I could take up. Just let them do anything. Yeah.
Called Chloroform.
Chloroform the musical.
The jazz hands.
Yeah.
No, it's jazz hands.
But you could do that and it would still sell better than any show I've taken up there.
So, his head was bashed in. There were 3 bullets on the floor. There was a revolver on the bed. And money from his wallet was missing.
Did he have gunshot wounds? Did you say gunshot wounds?
No, there's no gunshot wounds.
There's bullets on the floor, but there's no gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
Oh.
The first inconsistency. And then money from his wallet is missing, and Ruth told the police that her jewels had also been stolen.
Oh, that's it.
Oh.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal in context.
Oh my God. Look at your mum.
I got distracted because I asked Nat to refill my glass, and then I thought I should chime in with a little empathy.
So the inconsistencies I will list for you now. There was no sign of breaking and entering on the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The property that Ruth Snyder said had been stolen, the money and the jewels, was found in the house, but like hidden under her mattress.
Yes.
My grandma used to do that shit.
Hide
everything under the mattress. Like when the euro came in, she was like, I'm not changing it to pesetas, I don't trust the banks. So she died with loads of pesetas under her bed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, random side note. Sorry.
No, were they still note, valid?
No. I was like, Gran, you need to change the shit. Man, she's like, I hate the bank. After the Civil War, she was like, I don't trust them. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry.
So was it Nat's gran?
It was my gran that did
this. She turned up. It was so weird.
Oh, I love that. Oh, God. If this is staged and she, like, stole some stuff and then just hid it in the house.
Yeah.
I just...
Oh, I kind of respect it. I like it. I like. It's just, that's just such disrespect for like any detective.
I just, they won't check that. Yeah.
Yeah. They won't check the bed that he is lying dead on.
Found not to check there. So also the behaviour of Mrs. Ruth Snyder was inconsistent with that of a terrorised housewife.
She was just like, forget your troubles, come on. Yeah.
More jazz hands.
Miss Snyder, play grief. How old is Lorraine, by the way?
Nine.
Poor Lorraine. I know. Let's just have a moment to appreciate that now dead Lorraine.
Cheers, yeah. Lorraine.
Yeah, cheers, Lorraine. We're sorry.
Okay.
So the police didn't find this out on the day, but it's pretty damning that a $48,000 life insurance had just been taken out on Mr. Snyder very recently. Oh. And then something even more damning and stupid that happened, which I will tell you about in a minute. But first, I have to give you some more information before we get to that stupid bit, because then it'll be more fun.
Okay.
So, question. Do you think the Snyders had a happy marriage?
Well, based on what you told me and how they ended up.
No.
Did correct. He like fried chicken?
Unless this was like a sex game gone wrong. Darling, get out the chloroform. I'm feeling brandy. Because that is the New York accent.
I've heard it is the New York accent.
I can't get turned on unless there's three bullets on the floor.
So as well,
I'm guessing it was
not a happy marriage. Now, it's always easy to feel sorry for the one that's dead, so I'm going to give you some more information about him.
It's always easy. And that's just
human nature. Yeah. Albert Snyder insisted on hanging a picture of his late fiance, Jesse Gouchard, on the wall of their home.
And what?
Yes, right?
You're right to question that.
Yes.
What?
And he also named his boat after her.
Whoa!
And he described Jesse Gouchard as the finest woman I've ever met.
I would leave the house and steal his boat and repaint it.
I know, right?
And name it arsehole.
So that is like literally one of my questions is, would you guys be cool with...
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No. It's good. Would you be cool with your partner hanging a picture of his dead fiancé on the wall of your house?
How fit is she?
That's a great question.
Do you know what I mean? Is she fitter than me?
Is it a wank bang moment? Like, is
but then it's like, here's what I wished you looked like. Oh, so also, Albert was the art editor of the magazine Motorboating. That's partly why he had a boat.
I mean, that just rates itself.
He was really into boats.
Yeah, insert your own jokes here, because it's, yeah.
And so Ruth's distaste for her husband began when he hung the picture of Jesse Gouchard on the wall.
I'm sorry, I'm just having a flash of all the times that I've motorboated.
Oh, Taylor!
Consensually. Like, I don't just go up to women. But you know, you get drunk, you motorboat your friends.
Sure. Yeah, we wasn't in.
We were there. I mean, she's doing it to me now. It's really difficult to drink while this is happening.
Okay, I'm seeing myself a week from now listening to the edit. I'm like, Amanda, could you take this part out? And she says, no.
She's saying no now.
Have you never motorboated anyone? No.
I'm going to need a tiny bit of clarification on what that is.
Oh, you don't know. You don't even know why we're laughing at motorboating. It's when you put your face between
tits
and go tits.
Like a naughty raspberry.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I guessed it was something like that. I wasn't sure if it was butt cheeks or if it was tits.
Do you know what? I used to have some material about, as somebody of a sort of smaller stature breast, I say that the thing is, like, people really like motorboating. They're like sort of like having your tits.
Oh my God, I remember this.
And I have really small breasts, so I don't know if I can, you know, how can I do it? So what I need is just a guy.
You're more like a canoe. Like, yeah. You can canoe you.
You
just have to.
I mean, it was
a
great punchline.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This was a gag. I'm so
no,
sorry.
No, all of the gag was that I just need a guy with a really small face.
I love it.
You could rewrite that and do the canoe.
You can have it.
I think the Edinburgh audience 2008 would disagree with you.
They did.
Really like that. Yeah,
that's very funny.
So Ruth was not happy about the picture, the motorboat, or the fact that he was generally still obsessed with this woman that died 10 years ago.
Sure.
But you know, it was 1927. They did not go to couples therapy. So Ruth coped with this feeling of rejection the old fashioned way. What do you think Ruth did to cope?
Ooh, some sort of like drops, some sort of like opium drops. What was it?
Oh, like Valium or something.
Yeah, like they then they do that. Like women were knocking that shit back.
Yeah, they were. That's not the
actually. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, oh, mother's little.
I don't know that she didn't do that, but that's not what my thing says.
She tortured the child. Was it her child as well?
It's her. Okay, yeah. So it's totally her child.
Oh, poor Lorraine, way before this, then. Yeah. Because she was just getting an earful about this all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she draw like a moustache on the picture of the woman? That's what I want to know. And we got some subtle comedy revenge.
That would be
Hannah,
so
that
awesome.
That is dark. That is dark.
Can you imagine? And then be like, oh, I don't know how that
goes. Oh. It's a child. The child did it.
Yeah. Poor Lorraine.
You've literally signed it at the bottom.
Oh my God. It would be like the miracle of the Mary statue. Like, it's a miracle she can grow hair. She must have hit the menopause.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, none of you have got the answer right. Ruth had
no... Wow.
No.
Wow, Katie. Sorry.
It's like, I actually wasn't even really listening to what you guys were saying.
I was just zoned out. I was
just focused on the case because also wine. So Ruth coped with it by having an affair.
Oh. Logic.
That's a more proactive way than drugs, in a way.
And I feel, you know, it's a tale as old as time. You know, boy meets girl, girl dies, boy marries new girl but is still obsessed with old girl. So Ruth has an affair with a married corset. Is that the right?
Closet.
Corset.
Oh, yeah.
Corset. She fucks a corset.
No.
Can corsets marry?
She fucks.
I like you. You are tight.
Corset.
He's a corset salesman.
Oh. That makes corsets.
Do they need their own salespeople?
Oh, right. So he sells. Yeah.
Don't they sell themselves?
And what's slightly sad about this?
Hey, lady, you look like you could be nipped in a few inches. Oh yeah, I see how that works. I would fall for
was
that.
Was he like? I mean, was he
like door to door?
Yeah. So he'd go door to door with corsets.
I actually don't know.
Or was he like a whale hunter that then turned it into like corsets?
See, I don't
That's
know.
That's sexy. That's cool.
If she was going looking for corsets,
door to door corset salesman. Is this what Dorset is named after?
Yes. Don't look it up. It definitely is. Yes.
It worked backwards from New York in 1920.
But basically, she was trying to look hotter. And she was feeling insecure.
Oh, no.
Of course she was.
And then she
felt so hot, she's like, I'm gonna fuck this.
Yeah. So poor little insecure, murderous Ruth Snyder starts fucking the corset guy. And then, they had a great time together.
Yeah.
By which I mean they had loads of sex.
Yes.
Yes.
So.
Hashtag fried chicken.
Boys.
So, because Albert Snyder was out all day writing about motorboats, both versions, who knows, and dreaming about his ex, they could meet up in the Snyder's house, Lorraine's at school, so they could fuck in the house. And then they also sometimes went to hotels. And they would like just leave little 9-year-old Lorraine in the hotel lobby, and then go upstairs.
Well, hotel lobbies. Sorry.
I mean, my mom, like at 9, was already like making me like sell shit on the street, make Spanish omelets. Like, this is how you make money. Go do stuff. So, like, actually, instead of the lobby, she made her kid do something.
Yeah.
Like while they're waiting, it's like
learn a trade.
In life. like while you're waiting, I don't know, sell pancakes or whatever.
Yes, you can't.
Do in America.
You can't make an omelette without breaking a child.
So it's like make the, you know, make the kid feel useful.
Yes,
lonely.
Yeah. Get that self-esteem up.
I didn't feel as bad for her as some other neglected kids because, like, a hotel lobby is actually like an awesome place.
There's
to
usually
hang
fish,
out.
Fish. Isn't there fish?
Could be for a second. They could very well be fish.
Where did you stay?
Also, like, I'm imagining it like Dunstan Checks In. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that brilliant 90s movie. But there's like a monkey in the hotel.
Exactly. So, there you go.
I mean, so maybe
it's wildlife. It's biology. It's
maybe that
lesson.
Well, Lorraine had some.
Mum, go for a third round. Great time.
She had magazines.
No. Is that the name of the monkey?
That would be so let's cute. Say it is, and then we don't have to feel so sorry for Lorraine.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So Ruth Snyder figured correctly that the hotel staff would never dream that any mother would take her young daughter to such, you know, be fucking some guy upstairs while her daughter's in the lobby. So she basically was allowed to rent a hotel room, blah, blah, blah. The question, how much therapy will Lorraine need by the end of this case?
Well, yes.
Oh, they also had disgusting nicknames for each other. Do we want to guess the nicknames?
Oh, oh wow.
What, so what was her name?
So she's Ruth Snyder.
All I can think of is Monkey Magazine. That's all I'm thinking of. Like, God.
So Monkey Magazine, maybe, is her nickname.
Magazine, yeah, they existed then. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, monkeys.
Magazine.
Oh, magazine. I was going to say, monkeys have been like around like longer than us, but magazines. Yeah, magazines makes more sense.
That is a helpful.
So, Monkey Magazine and... what was...
Oh, for him. Corset cock. It goes in at the middle.
That's a great one.
You know what? Yours are better. Do you want to add to this?
I'll tell you.
No, I can't. Okay. She called him lover boy.
Oh.
And he called her mumsy.
Oh!
I've written here pause for puke noises.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mumsy.
I forgot there was a dog in here, and I just thought that I had lost. I thought I had lost. I was like, there's a fox in my house, and I don't even care.
Loverboy is such a rubbish nickname.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
At least, like, call him something related to his penis.
But in the 20s, maybe that was really, like, edgy. Ooh, like, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like corset cock.
Corset cock is that was... pushing the bar out.
They also said the nicknames for each other in baby voices.
Oh.
So just never trust anyone that does baby voices. Because they're killers. I don't know. Do you know what? It actually all came out. We'll get to this.
Oh, okay.
There was
okay.
an incredible court scene.
Oh, God, in court. You are the
lawyers.
Boy.
And then they also had a nickname for poor little dead Albert Snyder. Do you want to take a guess for what his nickname was?
Monkey broadsheet.
Tiny corset.
Tiny corset. It was the old crab.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you've just totally given away that they absolutely conspired to
or,
murder him,
or
right?
Did they?
No, I don't think... I don't.
Oh, that was just his nickname, though. We don't know that
was his nickname.
Did he just, like, walk sideways constantly?
I will now reveal the fifth piece of evidence that the police found on that day. They found a piece of paper with the letters JG on it.
Jesus God.
Good guess. Incorrect. So, as it happened, this was a memento from Albert Schneider's dead ex-fiancée, Jessie Gouchard. But
Mimosa was not a fan of that.
Doesn't like her. Doesn't like her.
Not Team Jessie.
Kind of George, I really thought you had passed gas. I keep forgetting the dog is
we,
here,
we
and I was like,
"We actually have
Hannah.
A dog we can blame it on."
I know.
No, it's great.
When they asked Ruth Snyder about it, what do you think she assumed?
What, that they were love letters or something?
Oh, it's so long ago you've forgotten her lover's name. Oh my God, did I not even say his
name?
No,
you did. You said that...
Because I was kind of...
Is that the fiancé's?
Lots of things were happening. Oh, fuck. This was the whole thing about this case. Like, basically...
So you've done amazingly.
No.
I'm really...
Do you know what? This is why they're cutting budgets to this force. Like...
I like... There was so much happening at the beginning.
The corset guy.
Yeah, the corset guy's name is Judd Gray. Or Gray Judd. Basically, they have the same initials.
Okay.
The police asked her about this piece of paper with JG on it. She assumed it involved her lover, Judd Gray, because both lovers have the same initials.
Brilliant.
So, question, what do you think she did or said?
So did she confess to the affair?
She was flustered when the police asked her about it.
Right.
And she immediately said, "What does Judd Gray have to do with this?"
So
she completely incriminated herself. And
you guys both just sat back like,
I know exactly what's happening.
We've cracked this.
So this was the first time that Gray had been mentioned. The police were initially instantly suspicious.
That is really, that is the stupidest.
Yeah, it was a major breakthrough in the case. And it's also why she's considered one of the stupidest criminals.
Mm-hmm. I will see your initials and raise you a full name.
But like the case got cracked because like
holy
both
shit.
Affair people had the same initials.
That's amazing.
That really is.
So the police tracked down Judge Gray upstate in Syracuse. He claims to have been there all night. This is actually...
That is kind of a hot name, like Judge Gray. Like I could hit that.
He's got furrowed brows and like a dick. Yeah, I like him already.
Is he actually a judge or is that his name?
Oh, yeah, that's judge. Exactly. Good question.
It's J-U-D-D, Judd.
Oh, Judge!
Oh, right, okay! That changes it. That's
not cool. Is he actually a Judd?
Yeah.
Is that his job?
Now he's wow. the train Apatow.
No, now he's just yeah. has loads of dogs, and all that's gone.
Oh, suddenly he's changed in my mind. He
different,
was Judge.
Different
and
fantasy.
Judge.
Yeah.
They track him down to this hotel. He says he's been there all night. This is brilliant. But how did the police find out that he wasn't there all night?
Was the monkey in there? Was Dunstan checked in?
You've cracked it. It was the monkey.
He checked out? Because he had checked out?
Close.
Paid a bill.
Even closer.
Ooh.
So he had put his train ticket in the bin in his hotel room.
Dumb. I mean, rookie mistake. Come right? on, just... So, wipe the DNA everywhere off. They didn't have DNA testing, but you know what I mean.
No, totally, totally.
But it's a big job after a night in a hotel, but you've got to do it. Get that DNA off everything.
Celebrated newsman Damon Runyon later wrote that Ruth and Judd were inept idiots and called the whole mess the dumbbell murder because of the dumbbell, the murder weapon. And also they love a pun, don't they? The newspapers.
They really do.
By this point, they're both blaming each other for the murder. Ruth Snyder is saying Judd Gray did it. Judd Gray is saying Ruth Snyder did it. They both get arrested. It's all gone wrong. The press are slagging them off, calling them idiots. Oh, yeah. And also, because Albert Snyder writes about boats, he's like a big deal. In the 1920s, they're really into motorboats. Am I right?
Am I right? Who's with me?
And so the trial became a media frenzy.
Right.
Celebrities used to turn up. But because it's the prohibition...
Oh shit, no one's drinking.
Yeah. Well, but they are. Both of their defences involved blaming the demon drink, and both said that the other one had led them astray and kept trying to get them drunk and take them to speakeasies, and that they were the righteous one. And so there's this whole...
So was alcohol almost given a different status than it deserved because it was prohibited?
Yeah.
Like on the flip side of...
So yeah. In the law of court, like in the law of...
I didn't even clock
that.
If
you say you were drunk, could you get away with shit? Like, is that...
No, more like there would be more hot... Like, because it was illegal and you could only drink in speakeasies and stuff, so you'd already broken the law if you were drunk. And then they thought they were really like, the devil wants you to drink, it's all about the devil.
Right,
so loads of people's defences...
It's like when we would smoke
bananas and we'd be like, yeah, I'm so high, that's why I snogged you.
But if you'd redeemed yourself and you're like, I found Jesus,
yeah,
so you're fine.
Yeah, so that was...
Get out of jail, like, free card!
Yeah, so all of their defences was like, I never drink. I go to church. And then the other one's like, they drink, they never go to church. Like, it was that whole thing. So Ruth's lawyer says that Gray set up the life insurance and that Ruth had been a loving wife. The husband had caused all the problems by pining for that other woman, and then she'd been tempted by this evil Gray fellow that kept trying to take her to speakeasies.
I agree with her. I'm so on her side.
Yeah, team Ruth. Oh, she also alleged that Judd had previously sent her poison and urged her to give it to her husband. And so Judd's lawyer said vice versa. He claimed that Judd was a law-abiding citizen who had been duped and dominated by a designing, deadly, conscienceless, abnormal woman, a human serpent, a human fiend.
That's right, Mimosa. That's misogyny.
Yes, it is. You are right to bark at that. And he'd been drawn into this hopeless chasm where reason was gone, mind was gone, manhood was gone, and where his mind was weakened by lust and passion. So his defense is that he's shit, basically.
And I bet he didn't go down for it.
Wow.
Okay.
What's happening? That's coming up. Oh, just give you more flavor for what's gone on before. She had apparently tried to kill her husband several times before.
What? How was that a big thing?
Yeah. They were each blaming the other one for the previous attempts on Albert's life. Question, how many times in different ways was it alleged that Ruth had previously tried to kill her husband, Albert?
3 is a magic number.
Nice.
In all
nice.
Fairy tales.
That's good. Any advance on 3?
5.
Nice.
I mean,
Hannah?
That's a lot. How many can you prove? But like, I'm going to go like even 6 3. Because that way anything above 6, I win.
Hannah, you are the winner.
Damn right, what? She wins.
It's 10.
7.
It's 7.
Yeah. So I'll just listen for you real quick. Number 1, twice she disconnected the gas while Albert slept and she slipped from the house, but both times he woke up and saved himself from asphyxiation. Number 2, this is like the top 10 hits. Another time she closed him inside the garage door while the automobile's engine was running, but Albert survived again.
Lazy. Chloroform. Where's the chloroform there?
Where's the chloroform, oh. Right? Number 3.
But also, is this guy, he's just stumbling back into his marriage.
He's like,
well, I'm off to bed.
So in love with this previous one, he's not even noticed. So she started putting bichloride of mercury in his whiskey. But he survived again. Sleeping powder she gave him. She gave him a poison as a cure for the hiccups. But it made him violently ill instead. And on the stand, Judd said innocently, I said to her that was a hell of a way to cure hiccups.
Oh wow.
Just don't think Judd's innocent either. So Albert never suspected any of these things because he was busy daydreaming. Question, how long do you think the jury deliberated before coming back with a verdict?
3 days.
10 minutes.
Yeah, I think like 24 hours.
You are the closest.
Oh! What?
Nat wins. It's 98 minutes.
I won something I've never won shit.
I won something. Not even like, what are they called? Raffles. Never win them.
And God, you enter a lot.
Okay, actually, next question. What do you think the verdict was?
I mean,
for Ruth or for Jen?
But do you think one's innocent, one's guilty, both innocent?
Both guilty, surely.
I'm going to go with him being an arsehole. I'm going to go with her being... I was going to go with the lady.
So Ruth gets off, he goes down?
Yeah.
Okay. Hannah's both guilty?
I'm going to say both guilty.
Okay, I'm afraid... yeah, they were both guilty.
Oh.
But they were shocked that they got found guilty and the punishment was death.
Wow.
So they both got sentenced to the chair.
It surprises me every time though. I'm like, what?
They were sentenced to death in 1928.
They are literally dumb fuckers.
They are.
Just be more clever. So, if you're going to kill people, that's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah, they get killed to get... So he goes first, and then minutes later it's her. She was actually the first woman to be executed in Sing Sing since Martha Place's electrocution. Yeah, in 1899. Mm-hmm. And she like was moments after him. Also, so this is the morbid historical first.
Flagged
up at the beginning.
Oh, super exciting.
So this is weird, okay? But also it's been in loads. It's like a pop culture thing too. It's super weird. So basically you weren't allowed to take photographs of people being electrocuted, but a reporter from the New York Daily Times smuggled in a camera by strapping it to his ankle.
What?
So
how fucking big was that camera in the 20s?
I've got a gammy leg. Like,
he was like wearing flares. So this guy, Tom Howard, from the Chicago Tribune, blah, 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 owned by the New York Daily News.
This is the only reason I know this case. I just realized it's come full circle. Yeah, just because of this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Incident. So basically, he sneaks out this camera and when she's being electrocuted, he paps a photo of her being electrocuted. It's like Human Progress, Fire, The Wheel. First photo of someone being electrocuted.
Yeah. So brutal.
Okay, so... Little Lorraine was fine.
She was fine?
And no, what I mean is... there was a huge dispute about who would have her once both her parents were electrocuted. Well, one's dead and then the other's electrocuted. So, but there's a big thing about it, but then she ends up with her maternal grandmother. Ruth didn't want Lorraine to visit her on death row. but she wrote her a sealed letter to be given to Lorraine when she's old enough to understand.
Oh, Christ.
And then I don't know much more about this, but Lorraine... Apparently a year later, Lorraine was aware that her parents were dead but didn't know how they died. But then, like, Lorraine, you saw your dad's body, so, I mean, anyway.
Did she come into loads of money and then everything was
well,
fine?
Well, no, because actually, well, she came into some money, but some of the, because of all the murder, the indemnity thing was, like, void. So some of the money wasn't paid out because it was illegal. The first ever photo of someone being electrocuted has been a massive thing in popular culture all over the place. And Guns N' Roses, in 1991, used it as artwork on their Use Your Illusion album. They got a massive, like, enlarged picture of them standing in front of it. Wow. And, yeah, that was part of their artwork for that album. Let's hope Lorraine got some money. And cheers to Lorraine!
Yay! Yes, Lorraine!
Lorraine!
Drunk women solving crime.
The listener crime for this week is... I think this is one of the ones that was written on a slip of paper, wasn't it? Of one of our live shows. Anyway, I will read it out. I don't have a name for who wrote this. I was pickpocketed in front of my building while kissing someone goodnight. This was signaled by a delivery driver and the security guard.
Nat, did you write this in? Similar. We always come full circle on these. It's so weird.
Yeah. The security guard didn't see anything.
The security guard didn't see anything or say anything.
Yeah, so like basically what it sounds like is they were kissing, someone stole their wallet or phone, a delivery driver saw it and flagged it up and told them.
Right.
But the security guy didn't see.
Okay, so if you live in a building with a security guard, like, you're doing okay.
So, a,
I'm just saying,
a,
I'm not saying.
B, but also the guy should be doing his job because you're probably paying him like service charge.
Yeah.
In your building, so call that's a, also shit. Me.
Yeah.
C, learn Krav Maga and beat the shit out of someone that does that. Is that a bad thing to say?
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But if you haven't even noticed, it's happened.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, it's...
Yeah.
Do you know what? I once, when I was at university, outside my halls of residence, I once had a little kiss goodnight with a chap I'd gone on a date with.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the worst kiss I'd ever had in my life. And wow. We literally never spoke to each other again.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Even though you would see each other.
And no, well, just wouldn't... I don't even know where I met him. But I remember we went on a
street
date
somewhere.
And I couldn't pronounce his name, so I called him B because his name was something, I think it was Welsh. And it was the worst thing ever.
So what's the what do we have to give advice to this person?
Well, we have to solve this crime.
Like, did the implication is the security guard maybe did it, which I don't think they did. I think the security guard was staring off politely, like, oh, it's a kiss, so I'm going to look away. It's a kiss, so I'm going to look away.
Oh, actually, that's true. If they had seen it, they'd be the pervert.
And then you have to question, like, was the delivery driver doing a he who smelt it, dealt it? Like,
you've
been robbed!
Yeah, but was there a description of the person that did this? Like, no. Did the delivery drivers say anything?
We've got no description.
Well, maybe, you know, find out what it looked like. Yeah. Does it look like a security guard? If not, leave it.
Yeah, was he wearing a little security guard hat, perhaps?
Oh, is someone then pretending to be a security guard?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've solved it.
We're done.
I think it was a third person. I don't think it was anyone.
We've ticked every box you can.
Just be grateful. Thank for you. Such a good who? Kiss.
Thank you, anonymous person.
Thank you, anonymous person.
Nat, is there anything that you would like to plug?
No, because I don't really understand Instagram. I will say that my Instagram is Nat and a Lady that I've just started again because someone was impersonating me.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do want to follow me, I probably don't understand how it works, so you'll only get a picture like every 5 months. But...
of an unlit vagina.
Or fried chicken. Those things interest you.
What a Venn diagram.
It's Nat and a Lady. Anyone else pretending to be me? And please be careful because some people are asking young girls for like... pictures themselves and like Netflix accounts and awfulness.
So just
ignore all of them and follow that if you're going to follow me. And if not, you know, what else can I plug? I don't know. There's like loads of shit I've filmed that will come out. And if you follow me in one of those things, you'll know about it.
Cool. So follow you to find out more.
A million billion things.
A million billion.
Thank you so much,
ladies. I've had so much fun.
Drunk women
Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.